Hi, this is Dick Van Dyke with Flair.
When the wind comes up and the sky grows black, as in Noah's time it used to, the farmers have a saying and it goes like this.
It wee-wee-wucks weather like Wayne and Schuster.
This is Wayne and Schuster reporting from Rome. We're speaking to the famous Hollywood producer, Darryl F. Zwieback. How are you, Darryl?
Just fine, sweetheart.
Darryl, we understand that your giant motion picture spectacle, The Daughter of Pharaoh, starring Maria Bikini, is almost complete.
That's right, baby.
We understand that you encountered quite a few problems in the production of this picture.
Well, you know, when you're away from Hollywood shooting in foreign countries, things can go wrong. This isn't the first picture shot in Italy that was delayed by various things.
Well, how long exactly has this picture been in production?
42 years.
42 years.
That's right. We started shooting in 1920.
1920, yeah.
And we had the usual difficulties. The script wasn't right. Temperamental leading man. Maria kept getting married and divorced. You know, routine Hollywood problems.
Of course, yeah.
Finally, in 1928, we had the picture completed when it happened.
Well, what happened?
Talkies came in.
Oh.
Naturally, we had to scrap the whole picture.
Sure, nobody could go to see a giant spectacle that was silent.
Right. We threw out the film, started from scratch. Finally, in 1935, we had the picture all finished when this happened.
What happened?
Color came in.
Oh, color, of course.
Once again, we started from scratch. 4 years later, 1939, we had it finished. It was sensational.
Oh, I can picture it. A giant motion picture spectacle in glorious color.
On a small screen.
I'm hip. CinemaScope came in.
We started in 1945, and this week I am proud to announce that my giant spectacle, The Daughter of Pharaoh, starring Maria Bikini in glorious color and widescreen, is ready to be released.
Well, that's wonderful. And you don't foresee any new difficulties?
Well, I do have one slight one.
Well, what's that?
Well, do you think the American public will accept a sex goddess who is 96 years old?
Orchestra says, what a country. Bonnie Pruden says competition is good. Well, look what it's done for Elizabeth Taylor.
If the tail of the tape tells you that your shape has some wrinkles to spare,
Bonnie Pruden can change it or sort of rearrange it by taking some from here and putting it there with a flare.
Now that we're getting America physically fit, let's bring up this question of competition again. It keeps coming up. A lot of years ago, we took competition for girls out altogether. When I was a kid, we played interscholastic games with other schools, and we got in shape, and we worked as a team. This had a lot of good effect. First of all, we were a team, and we knew we were a team. We weren't individualists, and we worked hard, terribly hard, to get in the position to play, and then we worked hard to win. You don't lose nastily. You just hate yourself if you lose, but that's all right. Now, competition is terrific on a children's level. There are a lot of things that where children are made to compete where I don't think it's healthy, because that's an adult idea of that particular kind of competition. But your children should compete. Life is competition from the first time they say, I can eat more cereal than you can, to the end of their days. They should know how. They should be in there fighting, because this world is competition. Our children are some of the best losers in the world, and I think we should get over this idea of losing. Now, mothers may have the feeling, I don't want this for my son. But remember, mothers, no matter what happens, read the papers these days and think what's going to happen to this boy. Whether he gets into a war or not, he's going to get into a training camp. If he's used to competing, if he's used to the discipline, if he's used to coming up against odds that are not always in his favor, he will be used to trying to make it when he gets there.
Now here's the ABC Radio Flair Corral. Come on, you could have guessed that means our own noteworthies.
When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. When you're laughing, when you're laughing, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, you bring on the rain. Don't stop your sighing. Be happy again. Keep on smiling. 'Cause when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. Keep on smiling.
Here's space reporter Jeff Dane.
Jeff Dane, will now explain the age of space that has begun. Coming soon, man on moon, Martian drift, rocket ship, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is Jeff Dane for Flair. One of the very real dangers that will be faced by moon-bound astronauts is the exposure to radiation. Scientists have long worried over the torrents of radiation that can be unleashed by solar storms. Now, enough lead shielding to protect against such deadly radiation would be far too great a load to lug into space, even if boosters were to be developed that would actually push into space a capsule that had, say, 6-foot-thick lead walls. That would take quite a booster. Now, a new device was described recently at a meeting of scientists. It's called a flux pump. And it's capable of generating an intense magnetic field using very little electrical power. Now, this flux pump will, in essence, cloak the space pilot with a magnetic field, and this will ward off the evil space spirits, those blasts of space radiation. The development was made by scientists at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory of the California Institute of Technology. And if it proves out, our outward-bound astronauts on their way to the Moon and Venus and other planets will be wearing, in addition to their spacesuits, an invisible cloak, far more important than any herringbone tweed or other visible apparel they've ever donned. This is Jeff Dane for Flair.
Now here's Irene Krall.
Pretty baby, cool blue, that's the way I always may be. Since you got yourself another baby, baby, don't be maybe blue. As the world that I was born in, since you left me early Sunday morning, you flew. Never had a word of warning. Sunday morning, I'll play it cool. Nobody's fool. It's gonna rule my heart. Promise that I'm not gonna cry. So tears, don't you try to start. But I miss your kiss that I can't deny. Pretty baby, cool blue, that's the way I always may be. Since you got yourself another baby, baby, don't be maybe, baby, baby, pretty baby, 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 always may be cool
blue. Harry Golden's got a bad case of nostalgia. Not only that, he's all broken out in reminiscences.
Humor, wit, and history, some Cracker Barrel philosophy. That's Harry Golden here to share some money in Americana. Now on Flair.
This is Harry Golden for Flair. When I was a boy, I had a friend whose father owned a shoeshine stand at one of the busiest corners of New York. In those days, people walked a good deal, often saying, "Let's go for a shine." The shoeshine stand was opposite the 23rd Street Crosstown System. And when you sat on one of the four chairs at the shoeshine stand, you had full view of people getting on and off the trolley. The step was high, and often a lady had to gather up her skirts, and you could see her ankle. Many a sport would say to my friend's father, "Give me another shine." Along about this time, the folks in the garment district were changing some of their patterns. A new item was being advertised, but mentioned always with a joke, or at least a smile. It was called a peekaboo waist, now called a blouse. Probably the first garment which exposed a half inch below the neck. And along about the same time, I saw a crowd of people outside a Broadway restaurant. And people saying, there she is behind the post. It was a woman smoking a cigarette. Ah, there have been many changes in a single lifetime.
Right, Harry. The Bob Thompson Chorus and Orchestra say, "I'll see you again." And I will, right after this song. Jordan has more voices than Bonnie Pruden has exercises, and to prove it, here's Will now with a one-man horror movie.
Here's a happy little minute, and in it for you, there's certain to be a smile or two.
Hi, this is Will Jordan for Flair. I'm mad about the horror movies they're showing on television lately, particularly the kind that start with a windy night, with lightning and thunder, and rain, and rain, I do lousy rain. Our story starts as we discover our hero, a tall, handsome scientist, scribbling away at his notes. Where's my assistant, Grumpy? Hi-ho, hi-ho. Oh, stop that. Now, we've got to get to the scene switches to the graveyard. You know, Master, you do lousy rain. I know, Grumpy. Start to dig. Hurry. Are you digging, Gruffy?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm digging everything. Wonderful. Let's get back to the laboratory. Scene switches back to the laboratory. All right, Grumpy, start the machinery. Oh, this is the part I like. All these buttons and knobs and dials. Your malted milk is ready, Master. Oh, stop that. Look, Grumpy, it's alive. Something's gone wrong. Check the nose. Did you put in the right eyes? Yes, Master, I put in the right eyes. Did you put in the right nose? Would I blow the nose? Did you put in the right brain? Well, Master, I dropped the original brain, but I put in the brain of a piano player.
You put a piano player's brain in his body? What kind of a creature will we have now, Grumpy?
I just want to thank you very, very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, Will. The Kirby Stone Four say, sit down, you're rocking a boat.
What kind of a diet are you on this week? Oh, come now, you must be on a diet. Everyone else is. High protein, high fat, cottage cheese, magic formula. Well, after hearing my friends talk about their various and sundry weight-losing methods, I've come to the conclusion that there are probably as many methods of losing weight as there are of making perfect fudge or the ideal martini. Now, are you an advocate of exercising off your excess? Or are you of the school of thought that says exercise only makes you hungrier? With everyone being so weight conscious lately, I got to thinking of a few of the offbeat diet ideas I've heard over the years. They all have one thing in common. They're easy to remember, and they don't require calorie counting. One suggests that you only eat food you don't like. Now, this, I'm afraid, would limit me to turnips and rutabaga. And then there's the other one that says, eat as much as you like, but don't swallow. But I really think my favorites are two quick exercises that I've been using over the years. And both of them can be done easily while you're sitting at the dinner table. The first one requires you to simply place your palms against the edge of the table and push yourself gently but firmly away. And the second one is even easier. You just move your head slowly from side to side every time someone offers you a second helping.
Thank you.
Rosemary Clooney asks, how am I to know? If she'll just listen to Flair for a week, she'll be an expert on everything.
If it's really love that found its way here, oh, how am I to know? Will it linger?
Here's Peggy Lee with One Kiss. That's like peanuts and potato chips. No one ever had just one.
One kiss, one man to save it for. One love for you alone. One word, one vow, and nothing more. To tell him I'm his only. One magic night within his arms, with passion's flower unfurled. But I will try to love only one man and no other man in the world. And no other man in the world. And no other man in the world.
Travel expert Margaret Truman says you can be a tourist in your own hometown. Just get the local merchants to raise their prices for you.
Here's Margaret Truman to start unraveling
the secrets and the pleasures and the tricks of traveling.
This is Margaret Truman for Flair. This is the time of the year when we all like to do a bit of traveling, but sometimes circumstances are such that we can't just take off. Many of us live in towns or cities for years without really getting to know them, so if you can't go away this year, try making a tourist trip through your own hometown. For instance, in some cities you can find entire communities where the inhabitants live much as their forefathers did who emigrated here from foreign countries. Chinatown in San Francisco is one example. Many towns have points of historical interest that are often unrecognized by their inhabitants, such as old houses. Not where Washington slept, perhaps, but which perhaps played an important part in our country's history. There are areas where battles of the Civil and Revolutionary Wars were fought, or where incidents took place which you don't read about in history books. How do you find these places? Well, many states have historical societies who research the historical background of many of these places and mark them with plaques. You could check with these groups or else do a little digging in your local library. Another way to travel in your own hometown is to take a walk in unfamiliar neighborhoods. Most of us ride through our streets, but to really get a new slant, try walking. It'll be like a new world opening up for you, a new world that can begin right in your own backyard.
Thanks, Margaret. Flying saucers are making news again. Someone's wheat patch in Argentina was seared by one the other day. But Jimmy Darin sings, there's no such thing.
There's no such thing as the next best thing to love. No substitute or facsimile thereof. Just try and do without it. Go see how far you get. Why don't we face it? What can replace it? Nothing they've thought of yet. There's no such thing as the next best thing to love. Necessity gave a cold, cold hand a glove. likewise someone to cling to. When there's a moon above, there's no such thing as the next best thing to love. There's no such thing with the very same appeal. And nothing like when you fall in love for real. Whether it be the real thing, this much I'm certain of. There is no such thing. There is no such thing. There is no such thing as the next best thing to.
Has been brought to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.